KQED.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
On today's California Report magazine, we check back in with three young college students whose stories we brought you last December. They were all living on the edge, no safety net, not sure if they'd make it to graduation because they were all homeless. On this special edition of our show, we'll find out what's happened to them.
You feel like you can handle so much, but at the end of the day, it's not enough. Or at least whatever it is in you, it's not enough.
Like every day, like, is a constant reminder. Like the world's just hammering at you. Yeah, you don't have a place to stay. It's like you're in class. It's the only thing you're thinking about. It's hard to focus on, like, the chalkboard.
But then I like, broke down, like, because I was, like, in the mirror, like I always am, and I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, Brittany, you kind of made it.
Over the last few months, our reporters have kept following Ebony Ortega, James De La Nueve, and Brittany Jones to see how they've navigated classes and final exams without knowing where they're going to sleep at night. I'm Sasha Coca, and this is the California Report magazine with a follow-up to the story we called Homeless You. Last year, when we first introduced you to these students, we got an overwhelming response from you, our listeners, who wanted to help. Some of you donated money, met these young folks face-to-face to talk about job prospects, or reached out to college counselors who work with homeless students. So we're devoting our entire show this week to looking at the impact of that help and the challenges these three young people still face. Let's begin with Ebony Ortega. She's 23 and goes to San Francisco State. Her parents are from Mexico. Her mom raised Ebony and her sister by herself in Palmdale, a small desert community east of LA County. Now, when it comes to homelessness among college students, experts say Ebony's situation is pretty typical. She's a barista at Starbucks, so she can pay for part of her tuition, her car, buy some food, but beyond that, nothing else. Her mom doesn't have any money to help her. So Ebony couch surfs, sleeps in her car or on campus while managing a full class load. One small setback could mean she won't graduate this year like she planned. When reporter Anna Tentakulis first met her last fall, Ebony was at a breaking point.
Ebony had just finished work and was off to one of her classes at San Francisco State. Despite the long shift, she seemed peppy. In the car, she showed me an empty bottle of a five-hour energy drink.
I know they're probably unhealthy, but, I mean, at least they get the job done. If you drink the whole thing, technically you're only supposed to drink half of it. But now since my tolerance is built up, it's like, okay, I'll take the whole thing.
So she could study late into the night. We walked through the student union on her way to class. She used to sleep here sometimes.
That would be the couch I'd sleep on.
She'd steal copy codes to print documents from the library and was never without her laptop, which is covered with stickers that say things like cute but psycho. She opened it up as we settled into her race and resistance class. Before the professor came in, I asked her what keeps her going. Ebony said the answer's simple. She needs to do this for herself and her immigrant parents.
My parents did not just come here just for me to hang out and, you know, just have some regular working class job, you know. I get scared that if I stop, it's like I'm not going to be able to get back up and do what I do now. I'm already this far, so it's just like I might as well keep going.
But she started falling behind in this class, and graduating in the spring seemed less and less likely. So now we pick up the story 5 months later at the university's library. It's finals week. We hug and sit down at a cafe inside. Ebony looks good, well-rested, her smile seems brighter. The big question, will she graduate? And then she tells me she got an incomplete in one class failed two others.
I was very disappointed at myself. I don't think I've ever felt defeat.
So, no graduation. In fact, she's now on academic probation.
It's a tough pill to swallow. You feel like you can handle so much, but at the end of the day, it's not enough. Or at least whatever it is in you, it's not enough.
But there is a silver lining. When my first story aired about Ebony last year, people wanted to help. A GoFundMe campaign was organized in her name. Anonymous donors, strangers, pitched in roughly $2,800. A big chunk of that went to everyday expenses this semester, so she wouldn't have to work as many shifts at Starbucks, and instead concentrate on taking care of herself.
I don't think I've ever had that sort of break in my life. I don't think I've ever felt like I actually had the time to, okay, it's like, you know what, take a nap or spend time with a friend or, you know. It was actually really nice to feel like human. I felt very humanizing.
But perhaps the biggest change of all, Ebony now has a stable place to live. Her younger sister, she's 21, moved from Palmdale to be closer to her. Now they split rent on a $600 room in East Oakland in an apartment they share with a large family. Ebony says this is the lift that she desperately needed, her sister by her side.
Someone who gets me to, like, be here and was like, you know what, girl, you better go to school before I slap you. Like, you know, she knows how to put me in check. She's like my little big sister because she's 2 years younger than me, but she actually acts like an older sister. So, yeah, so it's good. It's really good.
So now, with a fresh mindset and a stable place to live, Ebony has dived into her coursework with a renewed sense of purpose. She needs to retake at least 5 classes so she can boost her GPA and get off academic probation. This time next year, she hopes to graduate.
We met another student on our show last December, James De La Nueve. That's not his real name. He chose it to signal a fresh start in his life after he got thrown out of the first college he attended. When he came home to Los Angeles, he got in a fight with his dad and got kicked out of the house. Reporter April Demboski met him when he was trying school again at Santa Monica College without a stable place to live.
James told me he was determined to get it right this time, despite being homeless.
Every day, like, is a constant reminder. Like, the world's just hammering at you. Yeah, you don't have a place to stay. It's like you're in class. It's the only thing you're thinking about. It's hard to focus on, like, the chalkboard.
He was on the streets through the summer and got really good at shoplifting for survival. He mostly steals food, like chicken wraps and chopped fruit.
That is one skill, like, I've built on. I can't put it on a resume, but I built that skill throughout the entirety of summer.
Then last fall, James scored a spot at a new shelter. It's the first homeless shelter specifically for college students, run by other college students.
Good morning.
James went from sleeping in libraries and laundry rooms to having his own bed.
The great thing about this place is it really did catch me.
But almost as soon as he moved in, James was worried about moving out. The shelter is only open during the academic year, and everyone was going to have to leave in the spring. James seemed paralyzed by the deadline. He started cutting class, getting called into disciplinary hearings with shelter volunteers.
I've had alcohol on property. They don't permit that. I've been smoking on property, coming in late.
He kept stealing, and not always out of necessity.
Maybe it's anger. You know, thinking about how, you know, I was brought up, you know, not having that much. My dad, like, used to work, like, really, really hard and not have, like, a lot to show for it. So there's that kind of anger, like, you know, driving me.
This was a common theme for James. He always seemed stuck between dueling identities. Was he the immigrant son or the aspiring American intellectual? Was he the homeless student or the rebellious thief? Here's an example. One morning, instead of going to calculus, James went to his friend's place to drink cheap wine. He pulled out a resume from the future. It showed him getting a master's degree in urban design from Columbia in 2022.
That's everything I want my resume to look like in 10 years.
It was hard to tell if James was forging his own way or teetering on the edge of failure. Just a few weeks after we first aired James's story, my emails to him started bouncing back. He shut down his email address, and he never had a phone. I checked with the shelter. And all they said was that James had, quote, transitioned out. I'm pretty sure that means he did not survive his last disciplinary warning. I looked for James, but then I stopped. I thought of his new name, the new James. But his fresh start, that failed too. And I figured I'd leave him alone so he could try again. When I see people sleeping on the sidewalk now, I wonder if any of them were once like James, on the edge between a college career and a life on the streets. I remember his resume, and I wonder where he'll be in 10 years.
The last student we'll meet back up with today is Brittany Jones. She's 25, a former foster kid. When we first introduced you to her last year, she was going to Laney College in Oakland, sleeping wherever she could. But her life changed after one of you, our listeners, heard her story. Before we learn what happened to her, let's rewind to when reporter Laura Clivens met her last fall. Back then, Brittany's home base was a storage locker.
That's where I caught up with Brittany one afternoon.
And then I'm going to open my storage now.
Brittany rummaged through piles of clothes and garbage bags of toiletries. She was wearing jeans and a gray tank top that showed faded tattoos on her collarbone and arms. Her wavy black hair fell just beyond her shoulders. Brittany has style. If I passed her on the street, I wouldn't confuse her with someone who's homeless.
Shoes.
She was looking for a photo, one she kept in a clear plastic bag. Finally, she found it. It's the only physical evidence she has of her parents. They both died when she was little. The bottom edge of the photo is brown and damaged from water, age, and being dragged from place to place.
This is like really old. It's my mom and me. It's really old.
Oh my gosh, you're so cute.
It's really old.
She was, yeah.
When this photo was taken, Brittany's mom was a teenager. She's smiling broadly at the camera, sitting next to her new baby. Brittany's dad was shot soon after this photo was taken. Her mom died a few years later. Brittany thinks it was a drug overdose, but she's never gotten the full story. So Brittany wrote her own version of the story of her parents. In this version, they're still alive. As we walked from her storage unit downtown to catch the BART train, she told me she still talks to them.
All throughout the day, like I'm usually like, it's just in my mind. I feel like they're the ones listening to me. They're the ones that's in my head. So I like to look in the mirror and talk to them. I don't know why. It's like I'm looking at them.
In the mirror, in Brittany's mind, her parents could be anything she wanted them to be. Her father.
I kind of make it in my mind that I know he's very proud of me. I know that he would be very proud of me.
And her mother.
She's my rock. I love her. I love both my parents. Literally, but it's just, I know that they fail for me.
After her parents died, Brittany spent the rest of her childhood moving between foster families, relatives, and group homes. When she turned 19, she aged out of the foster system. Over the past year, she was homeless, bouncing between the floors and couches of friends and family, or getting some sleep in the early morning on BART. It's not that she didn't try to get a place to live. She worked odd jobs when she had them. Overnight security, stocking grocery shelves. But she didn't make enough money. So she took showers at churches and shelters. She napped at her storage facility. After we got off BART in downtown Oakland, we headed to Brittany's community college, Laney. In the library, she told me that one time she spent the night out on a pier in San Francisco.
I guess the bridge changed colors now, like the Bay Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't notice that. So I got to see stuff that I don't normally see. So that was like beauty. Like in a horrible situation, you can see like the beauty in it.
That's the thing about Brittany. She always focuses on what's good. She'd say to herself over and over, it's cool. It's okay.
So from January until like now, I haven't had my own bed. But it's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
And she did all this while trying to piece together a 4-year degree. That was her goal. She said she wanted to do it to prove to herself that she could, and also because it was the most consistent thing, the most normal thing she had going for herself.
Okay,
Brittany arrived a few minutes late for her 11 a.m. English class. The instructor introduced the day's topic, the Black Panthers and ideas for social change.
Okay, may I have three volunteers?
Brittany raised her hand. She'd been thinking about how kids were treated in the justice system.
I think that they shouldn't give them the max sentences, like for young people, because their mind still has to develop. And it's like, you know, I don't think young people should get life sentences.
The other students loved her idea. None of them knew Brittany was homeless. A lot has happened in Brittany's life since I met her and followed her to school that day. Her story aired on the California Report magazine 2 weeks before Christmas. She let people know she was homeless in a very public way. That set in motion a chain of events that changed her reality. Brittany got an apartment.
Hey, Brittany, it's Laura.
Okay, here I come.
I wait for her at her entryway here in downtown Oakland. It's a month after her move-in. January, the start of a new year.
Hi, so good to see you, Brittany.
She greets me wearing sweats and slippers. She's beaming as she leads me down the hallway to her front door.
We're in. I have keys. Oh my God, I don't even know how to explain it in words. I'm just like super happy. I can't stop smiling.
Brittany shows me around now that she's more settled in.
We're at the kitchen. I have a table, I guess my dining room area, the living room, a couch, I have rugs.
The walls here are still bare, but the heat's turned up and a dozen lit candles in glass holders make it feel cozy. So how did we get here? After Brittany's story aired, listeners reached out. They offered to help in a lot of ways. The biggest offer was this studio apartment just blocks from Laney College. An Oakland family helped Brittany find it and is now paying her rent for at least a year.
I like broke down because I was like in the mirror, like I always am, and I'm talking to myself and I'm like, Brittany, you kind of made it.
Another listener set up a fundraising website. 33 people donated. Within weeks, the account topped $5,000. Some of the donors wrote comments and told Brittany to keep going with school.
So this is like encouraging, like maybe I should just like go full time. Maybe I shouldn't even look for a job. Just do this like for real.
Take more than the one class a semester she'd been able to manage until now.
Now I'm going to give myself a bigger load and see if I can handle this. You know, now that you don't have to worry about where you're going to sleep at night, now you can go to school. You can like, you know, focus everything on school.
Brittany likes to read the comments on the fundraising website over and over on a used laptop the Oakland family gave her.
It's a privilege to support a dedicated and hardworking student like you. Brittany can help with supplies for your apartment.
And then what's the most recent donation?
So the most recent one was the last one, which was $3,000. I was just like, wow. I'm so mad they're anonymous because I can't thank them, but I'm so happy and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, whoever you are. Thank you.
For years, Brittany hid the fact that she didn't have a home. Now, she says it's a relief her story's out, but she's uncomfortable in the spotlight because she's the girl who escaped the streets, the girl who made it. So the pressure's on.
I don't know, it's just like a little nervous because I'm like on some type of pedestal and I have to like really like be not perfect, but like I have to like live up to that. But I'm human. So I have flaws and I'm not perfect and I still have a lot more to learn.
Like how to manage this new apartment of hers.
Okay, here's one for instance. So it was a budget worksheet. So utilities, I put $200, I got to save that. Food, I try to, like, I'm going to do, like, 200. That's my budget.
What do you think about instead of where you're going to stay now?
Now I'm just like, okay. Now I'm just like, did I leave the oven on? Did I leave the lights on? So now that's what I'm just thinking, like, oh, my God, is this on? Did I blow out the candle? Like, what's going on?
And do you feel like you have more ability to think about, like, your life plan, like, mm-hmm. your future, mm-hmm. school stuff?
Like, now I can get to know myself, like, really get to know me.
One thing she's getting to know about herself is that she loves studying. teenage Brittany didn't even want to go to college. And when Brittany finally decided to enroll at Laney, she was too overwhelmed worrying about housing to really sink into being a student. And part of being a student is experimenting with the carefree life of a college kid. Before, when friends asked her to go out, she'd say no. But on New Year's Eve, she put on makeup and a cute outfit and went out dancing. She's saying yes.
This is a new year, so it feels like, it feels good. Now I have like new different insights on the world. Like I'm just like, this is a new year, this is a new me, I have to do new things. So I'm just like taking it in and I'm happy. Like this is how you start a new year. Like this is how you start a new year. Like for real.
A few months pass. Brittany and I text and meet up a couple times. She decides to take three classes, math, English, and intro to psych. In early May, I visit her at Laney College. It's the end of the semester. We walk to the edge of campus to a spot Brittany loves, a green lawn overlooking a tidal creek.
So how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. Feeling good. I've just been exhausted. The school works in the semester. Finals are approaching.
Brittany feels good about her math and English courses. She's getting a B in both. Intro to Psych is a more advanced class that has credits you can transfer to a four-year college. That's still her goal. But the readings in the Psych class, they're confusing. She's getting a C in this one.
At first, I was thinking about giving up, like, let me just drop. But then I was like, I came this far. I don't need to drop. Like, I'm already here. I mean, took in a few exams, so why not just stay? That was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It's okay. Same words she used when she was homeless, but the circumstances are different. Now the hard thing for Brittany to talk herself through is a rigorous class, not spending the night alone on a bus. There are new stresses too. Now that she has a fixed address, she gets mail, and not the good kind. These are letters about debt. In 2011, Brittany took out a loan when she was at her first community college.
It was my first time ever taking a loan. I don't even know why I took out a loan. I think I was just like, I saw a friend do it, so I was like, let me take out a loan. I didn't even know anything about loans. So I took one out. I got the free money. Didn't even think nothing of it. Forgot about it.
But loans don't forget. And neither do old traffic tickets or overdue library fees. She had a lot of those, too. So the $5,000 she got in donations has mostly gone to pay her debt. Brittany feels awful about being careless with money in the past and wishes she could have spent more of these gifts on her books and food. So she's looking for a job. Since she got housing, she's wanted to try something new like office work or home health care. But now she's ready to take any job.
Whoever called me back is where I'm going to go because that's the time it is. Like, I just need a job to work.
There are still big questions about the future. How long will it take to finish school? Will the degree be all Brittany hopes for? What about her apartment? Brittany's living rent-free for now, but she's not sure how long the family from Oakland is planning to pay that rent.
Is it hard to ask them that question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I don't know how to say, like, hey, how long am I going to be in this apartment for? I mean, we check in regularly, but that question is just, like, so hard to ask. And I'm like, how do I ask? Because then I feel like if I know some negative, if I hear something, like, negative, like, I don't know, maybe just till the December, then I'll get back in that mode, like, dang, am I going to be homeless again in another, you know, like, end of the year, will I be homeless again?
She'd like to take over the lease on her apartment eventually, but the rent's nearly $1,800 a month. But for now, she has the space, physical and mental, to journal, meditate, talk to herself in the mirror. The space to bounce back. This is opening up a place for all the emotions she's never dealt with. Maybe it's the trauma finally catching up with her, from the death of her parents to her years as a foster kid, to the times she spent alone at fast food restaurants, waiting out the night because she didn't have a place to sleep.
When you looked at yourself in the mirror then, what did you see then, 6 months ago?
I saw my childhood, like, you know, being that I don't want to cry. Okay. I looked at myself in the mirror then. I didn't like what I saw, you know, looking back at myself.
I felt like a lost little girl. Like I hated myself sometimes for being in that situation, for being in my shoes I was in. Cause I mean, my parents was gone, and I felt like, I just felt like people kind of thought like, well, we knew you were gonna be like this. Like this was supposed to be my life. Like was this it?
So now when you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see?
I see myself. I don't know, I see my own beauty sometimes that I didn't see before. I don't have red eyes anymore. Puffy eyes, they're clear.
Why were they puffy? Because you were sleepy?
I was crying. I had so many different emotions. Then I just didn't feel like myself. I didn't look like myself. I was losing so much weight, just, you know, not being there. Like, I don't know, like I was just like, I was fading away or something. So now I feel like I'm whole again. Like, I feel pure now. I feel like, I don't know, I feel human now. I feel like Brittany now.
Later in the day at Brittany's apartment, I see she's put up a new decoration, the only one on the whole wall. It's a photo. It hangs right above the couch where she spends most of her waking hours. It's that weathered print of baby Brittany and her mom, no longer wrapped in plastic, now framed and behind glass, watching over her.
Since reporter Laura Cliven spent time with Brittany Jones last month, Brittany passed all her classes at Laney College. She volunteered to speak at an end-of-school celebration. She scheduled the time to talk about next steps with the generous couple who helped her rent an apartment. She also got a job as an overnight security guard. And that's the California Report magazine, a special edition focused on the lives of college students struggling with homelessness. A heartfelt thanks to Brittany Jones, James De La Nueve, and Ebony Ortega for having the courage to share their stories with us. By the way, you can check out photos and illustrations of each of their stories at californiareport.org. You'll also find more special coverage this week from KQED and the California Report as part of a multimedia collaboration looking deeply into homelessness. Special thanks this week to all the California Report listeners who were moved by these stories and wanted to help. Thanks also to Brittany Hosea Small, Mercedes Lazama, Shanina Shoemate, and to Louis C. and all the residents and volunteers at the Bruin Shelter. Our director is Susie Racho. Our technical producer is Seal Muller, and we had additional engineering from Jim Bennett and Howard Gelman. Victoria Maulion is our senior editor. The California Report's editorial team also includes Ryan Levy, Bianca Taylor, Carrie Feibel, Julia McAvoy, Sandhya Dirks, David Marks, Ingrid Becker, Ethan Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. I'm Sasha Coca. Thanks for listening. This is the California Report magazine.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.